This is the word of the Lord found in 1 Kings chapter 18, beginning with verse 21 and reading to verse 40. 1 Kings 18, verses 21 through 40. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal, from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us! But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill four barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. This happened many, many centuries ago. Elijah was a prophet of the Lord in the time that Israel was in great darkness. They were in great darkness because they worshiped false gods. They worshiped gods that were made by human beings. And often a statue was made Baal sometimes means the owner or the master. Sometimes he, I think, is depicted by a statue of a bull or of a calf. And he is a false god. And sometimes other false gods come afterward, such as gods like Ashtoreth and Chemosh. But Baal was a god that was favored by the woman who was the queen of Israel at that time. The king was a very wicked king whose name was Ahab, and he had married a woman from the nation of Zidon named Jezebel. And in addition to the two golden calves that Ahab and his fathers had worshipped, she brought in the prophets of Baal. But she did more than that. Not only did she worship this god Baal, she sent forth people to kill the prophets that taught the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it was a very wicked time. And God sent the prophet Elijah. He's called a Tishbite. And Elijah prayed fervently. Now, he was just a regular guy. He had feelings and weaknesses just like you and I do. But he prayed seriously. He prayed very diligently. And God said, I'm going to cause it to not rain on Israel for 3 years, according to your prayer. And then at the end of 3 years, when Elijah would pray again, he was going to send the rain. Well, those 3 years had passed. At first, Elijah lived by, he camped by a little brook. And birds brought him some meat and some bread every day to eat. And he drank of the water at the brook until the brook dried up. And then God sent him right into the country of Queen Jezebel, into the city of Zarephath, which is in Zidon. And there he met a widow woman that God had commanded to feed him. And he said, please fix me a little cake to eat and bring me some water to drink. She said, I don't have a cake. She said, all I have is a barrel of meal and a cruse of oil. It's a little bottle of oil. And I was going to fix that for my son and I so we could have one last meal before we die. And Elijah said, before you do that, first fix me a little bite to eat, because God has said that the barrel of meal won't fail and the little bottle of oil will not cease until rain falls upon the land. And so it came to pass that it never did. The barrel always had something in it, and the bottle of oil always had something in it, and they were able to make their bread and survive for 3 years. During that time, the woman's son died, and God blessed Elijah to pray to him, and he prayed to him and went out and stretched over the little boy and prayed, and he came back to life. And so he gave the little boy to his mother. And he stayed until the time of the 3 years ended. And then Elijah appeared before King Ahab and told him to gather the prophets of Baal, and they would meet. And we just read about what happened at that time. Elijah stood up there, and there was a great crowd of the people of Israel there. And he said, how long do you halt between two opinions? That is, how long are you going to waffle back and forth between the true God and a false God, or this God and that God, or the golden calf, or Baal, or whatever? How long are you going to vacillate? Are you going to waffle? Are you going to switch back and forth? If Baal is God, serve him. But if the Lord is God, serve him. And nobody said anything. And Elijah said, now, Baal's got 450 prophets here. That's a lot of preachers. So he had a lot of them there, and he said, I'm the only one here representing the Lord at this time. So let's both prepare a sacrifice. We'll each have a bull, and we'll cut it up, and we'll put it on the wood like you would burn for a sacrifice, but we won't put any fire on the wood. And then you 450 call on Baal. And after that, I'll call on the Lord God, and whichever God sends fire down to light this sacrifice, let him be God. And the people said, it is well spoken. So they were willing to go through this particular test. And we just read about what happened. prophets of Baal called and called and called and called hour after hour after hour, and no fire came down, no voice was heard, nothing happened. They tried to make it happen. And notice this, Baal, part of the Baal service was not just sacrificing the bull, it was human blood. They were cutting themselves and letting their own blood flow. Do you know in the true worship of the true and living God, He has never required any human blood except for His own. When He came to earth as a man, then He shed His own blood in order to wash our sins away. He suffered and poured out His own life in order to cleanse us. He was made to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so, the true and living God has never required the blood of any other human. But the Baal did. So they jumped up and down on the altar. It was almost like a dance routine. And they cut themselves and had their own blood flow. And nothing happened. And then, about the time of the evening sacrifice, I think this was probably around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. This was around the time that our Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life and gave up the ghost. But they got to that point, and Elijah said to the people there, "Come near." And they got close to Him. And there was a broken down altar to the true and living God, because you couldn't just make any altar to the Lord. You couldn't cut stones or hew them. You couldn't put a human tool on it. There were only 3 kinds of altars that the Lord would accept. One was the brass altar at the temple in Jerusalem. The other was an altar made out of dirt. You could build up dirt. Or you could make an altar out of uncut stones. That is, stones just like you found them in the wilderness. And that's what Elijah did. He took 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel, and he built up the altar of the Lord until it was fit to sacrifice. And he laid wood on it, and he put his pieces of the bull on the wood there. And then he dug this ditch. The Bible here says trench. Same thing. He dug this ditch around the altar, and he did something very strange after that. He told the people nearby to get 4 barrels of water. Now, water was scarce. It hadn't rained. But they were near the ocean. They were on Mount Carmel, and there was a brook near there, and Mount Carmel goes out into the Mediterranean Sea near that area. So they filled 4 barrels with water, and he said, "Pour it all over the sacrifice." So they poured it on top of the bull and on the wood and the stones. And then he said, "Do it one more time." And so now there are 8 barrels of water. Then he said, "Do it a third time." So now 12 stones he used to repair the altar and 12 barrels of water. And now the meat of the bull and the wood and the rocks are all drenched. And there's so much water that it fills up the trench. It fills up the ditch that was dug round about. So that's just soaking wet. And then Elijah prays. And when Elijah prayed, God sent down fire from heaven that was such powerful fire that it consumed the bull meat and it burned up all the wood and it burnt the stones away and it dried up all the water, including the water in the ditch. And the people cried out, "The Lord, He is God. He is the Lord. And I'll tell you what I want to really concentrate on. It's Elijah's prayer this morning. Listen to what Elijah prayed, because Elijah's prayer has 3 of the most important answers you can get in your lifetime. Let me read his prayer again and point them out. There's a lot of questions we ask in our life. Sometimes we'll ask, what should we play? Sometimes we'll ask, what should we work? What should we study? Sometimes we ask, what kind of job we should have? Sometimes we ask, who should we marry? Sometimes we ask, how should I raise my children? Sometimes we ask, where should we live? Those questions all seem kind of important to us. There's other issues that people take notice of. They ask, like, what kind of race are you? Or What kind of social position are you? Rich or poor? Bond or free? They ask, what are you? Are you male or female? And those are all important questions to us, but I want to tell you these three questions are more important than all of these others. More important than what you should play or study or work at or marry or where you should live or what race you are or what social position you are, even whether or not you're male or female. These three questions are more important than that. Listen to Elijah's prayer for a minute. Now we come down to this place, and he says, starting in verse 36, but reading verse 36 and 37, it's just a two-verse prayer. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. There's the prayer. Now let me tell you the three questions. Here, as far as I can tell from reading the Bible, are the three most important questions you can ask and answer in your life. These lay the basis for everything else. The first and most important question to ask is, who is the Lord God? That is the most important question you can ask in your life on earth. The second most important question is, and notice that Elijah prays that. He says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Now, he says, and that I am thy servant, and then listen to this, and that I have done all these things at thy word. The second most important question is, what would the Lord God have me to do? So the first most important question is, who is the Lord God? The second most important question is, what would the Lord God have me to do? That's what Elijah said. I have done all these things at thy word. And then the third most important is right in the middle there. He says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant. The next most important, the last of the three, is, who am I? You need to know who you are. That's essential. That is more important than other questions you can ask. Who is God? What would God have me to do? Who am I? Let me go ahead and give you the answer from the Bible to these questions, but then we'll talk about a little bit more before I sit down. Who is the Lord God? The Lord God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that is written about and described in this book. That's the answer to that question. I want you to find that answer for yourself. But I didn't want to just leave you. I wanted to give you the answer for that. The second most important question is, what would the Lord have me to do? And Elijah answered that one too. I have done all these things at thy word. God would have you to do what he says in this word. So the true Lord God is the one described in this book. And what he would have you to do are the commandments he would give you in this book. Now you can read, and there's lots of commandments, but the Lord Jesus Christ summarized all the commandments for us in two. He said all the commandments are summarized in these two. The first and most important is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And the second commandment is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If you want to know what God would have you to do with your life, love him first and foremost. Love people as you would yourself. That is the most important thing to do. And then You answer the question, who am I? Who am I? And Elijah says, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. That's who you are, child of God. You are the servant. You're the possession of God. You're His child. You belong to Him like property. You're His slave. And therefore, you're free. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, for we are not our own. We are bought with a price. Therefore, let us glorify God in our spirit and in our bodies, which are God's. You see, that's how we get in trouble sometimes, is we begin thinking, now that I'm a grown-up, I'm my own. I own myself. I make my own decisions. Well, you do. You do make your own decisions. There's a lot more responsibilities. But whether you're young or whether you're old, here's the thing, is you are the property of God. You are the child of God. You are the servant of the Lord. And that is your identity. It's more important than what race you belong to. It's more important than whether you're bond or free or whether you're rich or poor. It's more important than whether you're a boy or a girl. You know why? If that's the case, then we ought to just be content with how God has made us. You know, if the Lord has made us a boy, then be a good, grow up to be a good man. God has made you a girl, grow up to be a good woman, because He's made that choice. And that's a secondary question anyway. The most important in who am I is that you are God's child. In Galatians chapter 3, we read, for in Christ Jesus there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but all are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Today, so many people get caught up in this. What race are you? What race do you belong to? Are you black or white or Asian or Hispanic or all of this? That's not that important. It's not that big a deal. People make it a big deal, but it's not a big deal. There's never been any racial division stronger than Jew versus Gentile, because that's a people God Himself chose to bring out of slavery. But it's not a big deal according to the way God looks at things. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither bond nor free. You want to talk about people that are rich or poor or educated or uneducated? There's never greater social distinction than whether you're a free person or a slave. That's people have been doing that all throughout history, enslaving others, and it's terrible. It's the wrong thing to do. But it really makes this big division. And God, through the Holy Spirit, says, it's not that big of a deal. It's hard for us to conceive. But He says, in Christ Jesus, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, neither bond nor free. We have it so important, whether you're a boy or a girl. What's the first question somebody asks when a baby is born? Was it a boy or was it a girl? Why, sometimes we ask that before we ask, how's the mother and baby doing? We ask that, and it's good to be whatever you're born as, but even that's secondary. What's far more important than all of these things is who you are in Christ Jesus, who you are in God, because you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, let us glorify God in spirit and in body, which are God. Now, Elijah asked and answered these questions. Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. Elijah answers that question. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is God. Then he says, and that I am thy servant. There he's identifying who he is. He's not saying, hey, I am a prophet that just raised a little dead boy. I am a prophet that just caused a barrel of meal and a bottle of oil to last for nearly 3 years. I am a prophet that the birds fed. Elijah wasn't saying all that. He wasn't elevating himself as a prophet. He was saying who he really was. He says, I am the servant of that God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then he said, what's important for him to do? And that I have done all these things at thy word, Lord. What your word says is the most important thing I have to do. That is what I'm here for. I'm your servant, and I've done what your word said. Now, Elijah wasn't the only one to ask and answer these questions. If I go over to the book of Acts, remember when Saul of Tarsus, who was the Apostle Paul, remember when he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus? We read, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went in unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? There's that first important question. Who is the Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. There's the answer. You want to know the name of the Lord God? It is Jesus. He is the Christ. He is the Lord. He's the maker of the universe. The Lord God is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what was just answered. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There's that next important question. Lord, since you are the Lord and your name is Jesus, what would you have me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? That's the most important question after that is knowing, what would this Lord have you to do? And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Later on, when Paul was an old man, and he was on a ship being carried to Rome as a prisoner, they got into a terrible storm, and everybody on the ship was scared and really didn't know what to do, except for Paul. The reason Paul was calm about it is he was praying to the Lord and hearing from the Lord. And finally he came up on deck in the storm. Everybody was just scared, discouraged. And he told everybody, be of good cheer. He said, for this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, appeared to me this night, saying, fear not, Paul, for God hath given thee this ship. You shall go into Rome. And the Lord has given you the ship and all who sail with you. And so he said, therefore, fear not, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. But did you catch what Paul said? He told you again who he was and what it was he was to do. He said, this night the angel of the Lord, he's talking about the Lord, appeared to me, the angel of the Lord. And then he said, whose I am, there was his identity. He was the property of God. That's who he was. You know. And then he said, whom I serve. What was his activity? What did he do? He served the Lord. And that's the questions that we need to ask. And all the other questions have a way of resolving themselves so much more easily when we answer those questions directly. Who is the Lord? It is Jesus Christ. He's the one that came to earth to save his people. He's the one that went to the cross. He's the one that hung in the darkness there and paid for all the sins of all his people until they were completely paid for. That's the Lord. That's the ruler of the universe. That's the creator of the universe. He's the one that loves you so much, that cares for you so much, that not only did he make you, he came to earth and suffered things I'm not able to tell about, and then laid down his life for you. As he told his disciples, he broke the unleavened bread and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Then he took the cup and he said, take this cup. This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. This do in remembrance of me. He went and did that for you. Who is he? He is the Lord. He is the creator and the ruler of the universe. And then what would he have you to do? His commandments. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. He would have you do his commandments. That's the purpose of your life. You know, I've had some different jobs. I've had some different roles in life. I've, you know, gotten blessed to be a dad and a granddad. I like it. You know, blessed to be a husband to a good woman. I like it. I'm blessed to play soccer. I like it. That's not me, though. Who is me? The real me is God's child. God's child. That's deep down when all of those other things don't matter. When human relationships don't exist anymore, when physical health is gone, when it's time to lay down this body, the real you is still you. You're still God's child. It doesn't end. That's an everlasting relationship. And what will you do? You'll serve Him. You'll praise Him. You'll love Him. And who is He? He's the one that loves you with an everlasting love, the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you.